We welcome in Colin Livingston once again. And Colin, lots going on, some good and bad news. Let's start with F1. Now, Lewis Hamilton claimed his 91st pole. How close is he to Schumacher's record?
Here, first of all, hello, gentlemen. He is like a mile ahead of Schumacher for poles won. He's sitting one championship behind Schumacher. So Schumacher has seven championships, and Hamilton's won six. So, you know, pending any major issues, I mean, he's got a pretty big lead, like, you know, 40 points or something like that already after, you know, the first part of the season's been done. But he's also four behind Schumacher on the all-time wins list. So, you know, all things being equal, he should match Schumacher's win total and championship total by the end of the year.
Colin, you sent an interesting video to us talking about the technical director of Mercedes explaining how the race played out. You know, is that something new that these teams are doing, and why do they feel the need to explain their thought process towards the end of that race or any given race?
Well, it's something that I've only seen Mercedes do, and they've been doing it for a couple of years. Not always the same guy. You know, there's a handful of people within the organization that take the fan feedback, whether they've had a great race or had a questionable race, and they try and answer, you know, and they answer very, very honestly. Like, they won't divulge technical information, but they will often, you know, admit when they made a mistake. They often go through what some of the thought process is, you know. So as an example, the race that happened this weekend at Silverstone was crazy. Like, it was one of those races, you know, we always say you never want to leave until the very end. And that was the epitome of that statement. There was, you know, a bunch of issues with tires. So four different cars had tires fail. Three of the cars with a left front tire failure, one of the car with a right rear, which I think was the result of a puncture. But they went through the decision and the process of why they didn't pit or why they could have pitted. As it turns out, you know, Hamilton was leading by a very, very, very significant margin. So it was the two Mercedes cars. They were separated by about 3 seconds. And then the third place car, Verstappen, was back, you know, about 18, 20 seconds. You know, Hamilton's teammate Bottas had his left front tire fail just as he got past pit road. So he had to make an entire lap on a flat tire, you know, on a, whatever it is, like 17 turn, you know, 4 mile track is an eternity. Especially when it's primarily right hand corners, when you blow your left front. So that dropped him out of the points, moved Verstappen up. And what Red Bull decided to do was they didn't think that the same thing could happen again to Hamilton. They pulled Verstappen in, made a pit stop, put him on soft tires with two laps to go, to give him a shot to go for the fastest lap of the race, which adds a championship point. And as soon as they pulled him in, they got him out. He's on his out lap. Hamilton took the white flag, got to about turn seven, and his left front tire blew, which, you know, is basically disaster. And somehow, you know, with a combination of the lead that Hamilton had, some divine intervention and a lot of luck, he managed to, I think he ended up finishing about 4 seconds ahead of Verstappen. But absolutely, you know, captivating, riveting stuff, especially towards the end of the race.
Now, there was tires blown all over the place. What are they doing to, what's the reasoning for that?
Well, what they're saying is, you know, first of all, the cars on average are going a second a lap faster this year than they did last year at this particular track. So with those speeds comes unprecedented loads. And because of the COVID situation, they're running on, essentially they're running on the 2019 tires. So the tires haven't been improved for what the current generation car is doing. What's going to be really crazy is this weekend, the tire spec is even softer than what it was last weekend. So they're doing another back-to-back series. So what was the medium tire last weekend is the hard, and then they have two compounds softer than that. So, Pirelli's implemented minimum air pressure increases, so they bumped up the front tire pressures by a minimum of 2 PSI. The rear tire pressures go up by 1 PSI, which doesn't sound like a lot, but that's very significant. While teams were trying to get through on making a single pit stop, which, there's a whole bunch of stuff that happened, but, there was a safety car about 20% of the way through the race. And that's when all the teams came in and started, like, did their first pit stop and then tried to stretch the tires towards the end of the race. So they went a little bit further than what they anticipated. This weekend, it's going to be almost certainly a two-stop race. When you have to make that second stop, it's going to, you're going to see a lot more tire degradation. So from where cars go out on fresh tires, the times are really going to fall off, and tire management is going to be a super big deal on the weekend. But obviously, every time you come into the pits, there's an opportunity that, an air gun fails, a jack fails, there's a problem getting the tire on and off. It just introduces more uncertainty. So there should be a little bit more chaos on pit road this weekend. Going to be super, everyone's going to be, glued to the TVs. Watching what happens to the tires. And I've got to give TSN and Sky Sports a lot of credit. I don't know how many people have been watching, but when the race starts on Sunday, there's no commercials. The only thing that they do from the time the broadcast starts is they'll do side-by-sides, where you still see the action. There's a commercial running on the side of the screen. You get about four or five spots, and then it's right back to racing. So you see everything that goes on. Those guys are doing an incredible job. There's a ton of behind the scenes. There's a lot of information. It's super entertaining.
Colin Livingston joins us in the Cantorque Racing Report. The doubleheader weekend for Mid-Ohio is being postponed in IndyCar, so that's another five-week gap. Their next race is August 23rd, the Indianapolis 500, and now they've announced that the race will go on without fans, even though Penske, I think Mr. Penske had said they wouldn't run it without fans, but obviously they're going to go to TV ratings and such. What do you make of this? And, Penske's probably not loving his purchase right now.
Boy, so much of what Mr. Penske touches turns to gold, and that's because, he really runs an effective program, but out of all the times to buy a series and a racetrack, he probably got it at the absolute worst. Obviously you don't buy these things, with short-term goals or short-term gains. I know that they're in this for the long haul. Just an absolute heartbreak. But at the same time, the race is going to go on. I had actually made a bunch of notes about this going on, a week or two ago, saying that, like, as crazy as the outbreaks are right now in a lot of pockets of the U.S., I just couldn't see how they could gather that many people, even with masks and distancing and all the rest of it, without having it turn into a complete catastrophe. So, really good job by those guys. They're still in heavy development at the Speedway. They're still working on improvements and enhancing the fan experience. So they're not taking their foot off the throttle, but this will be one race for sure that looks very, very different. I haven't, honestly, I haven't noticed a difference in any of the NASCAR races, IndyCar races, F1 races without the fans, but no fans at Indianapolis is just going to look strange. Even when they do pole day, carb day, any of those lower or lead up events to the 500, there's still people there, even though the stands look fairly empty. This is going to be very strange, but at the end of the day, somebody's going to walk away with the Borg Warner trophy and a big bottle of milk, and I can't wait to see it.
Turning to NASCAR, you picked Brad Keselowski to win the last race, and he also got a nice bonus of re-signing with Penske. And, a nice weekend for him, obviously, to get both those things wrapped up.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, we've had the pleasure of, you know, racing, when BKR, Brad Keselowski Racing, was around. We did a number of races with him in the, Camping World Truck Series. I mean, Brad is, you know, he's just an extremely, you know, thoughtful and, you know, really sincere guy. We got to spend a little bit of time with him during their Christmas party. It just happened to overlap our NASCAR Pinty Series banquet in Charlotte. And, yeah, just really enjoy our time with him. But, yeah, honestly, I got super lucky. I mean, I had to pick a name out of my, out of the hat. Brad's never a bad bet though at New Hampshire. And, you know, I won't pat myself on the back. I mean, you know, once, if we play this game every weekend, I think my batting average is going to be about, 0.05. So, you know, this weekend though, I wouldn't be surprised to see him, win again in Michigan, because that's another, you know, first of all, that's a track that Penske built. That was a Penske track, and yeah, I mean, they always seem to do really run well there. It just, it's one of those tracks that when they offload, they're always quick.
Colin Livingston joins us in the Cantorque Racing Report. Colin, one last one for you. When you look at you know, the kart series, and you know, there's talk about them making up these days. Do you think that's going to be realistic? Like, you know, originally Penske said he didn't want to race with no fans. I think he's realized now, I don't see any chance there's going to be fans for anything. So are they going to make up these dates or just cancel them?
It's going to be interesting. What's surprising to me, and part of the mystery is, and I still haven't really got good answers from anyone, is how are they conducting these events without fans? Because with NASCAR, they can afford to do it because their TV deal is strong enough that even without the ticket sales, they're able to accommodate the tracks with either, you know, some kind of credit, some kind of remuneration that they can, you know, they have enough in their war chest that they can do that. But IndyCar's TV deal isn't that. So they're not making a lot, you know, or the same level of money where they can simply just go to a track like Mid-Ohio and say, okay, well, we'll rent the track from you. We need to stage these events. Hopefully by the time we get a little bit further down the road, more common sense kicks in. You know, some of these outbreaks can get contained. You know, what to be specific, Mr. Penske was talking about not running the Indy 500 without fans. You know, a couple weeks ago at Road America and IndyCar, they allowed infield. Like, Road America is a 4 mile track. It's got a ton of, you know, camping spots and places that you could safely watch. The same can be said for Mid-Ohio. It's a fairly big track with lots of places that you can watch from the infield. I think they'll get these things back on track. The Mid-Ohio postponement is really strange, though, because they're only talking about pushing it back a month. So I don't know what's going to happen between, you know, the scheduled races for this weekend and when they're talking about coming back in September. But, you know, they're the powers that be, and they're, you know, they obviously know a lot more than I do. So, you know, hopefully they get it done.
Colin, we will chat with you next Thursday. Have a good week.
Sounds good, boys.